Well, as you may be able to tell, since I asked him to lead that song, we're not doing the lesson on Samuel and Eli. I did get a little work done on it this afternoon, but it's with this elder series, one of these things that I want it, not perfect, because nothing's perfect, but I want to make sure proper time's been given to it for our study. And so, as I told Linda when I came in, going to teach about something I know obviously a lot about because you should be able to teach what you know and do well. So we're going to talk about fasting tonight. Want to examine fasting, not necessarily from the Old and New Testament. Those are two other studies we'll do at a later point. But wanted to ask the question, should Christians fast? We talked this morning about Easter. The period of Lent is recently, and maybe during this time period, I don't know, I don't keep up with it exactly. Mardi Gras happened, and I think, isn't Lent the day after starts? Okay. So, in the period of Lent, people often give up things, or fast from certain vices, or fast from certain activities they should not be participating in. And what it's become, really, in the religious world, used in that way, is a tradition, more than anything. It's just a tradition of picking something to give up and doing that. And so I wanted to examine the actual idea of fasting, whether that be of food or of another substance, from the Bible. And should we as Christians participate in it, or is this something else we can write off as a tradition of men? And so, if we look at the Bible's teaching on fasting, and like I said, we're not going very deeply into that tonight. Let's start with Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Christ, in his teaching here on the Sermon on the Mount, does not say, if you fast, but rather, when you fast. And so in teaching his disciples, Christ is inferring that they're participating in regular, maybe, fasting as part of their culture, as part of their devotion. If you go just a few chapters later, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through verses 14 and 15, the disciples of John are coming to Christ, and they're asking the question, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not? Which kind of goes in contradiction to what he's just taught in chapter 6, if you think of it that way. But notice his answer. And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast. Christ is pointing to his death. This is foreshadowing his death coming, that he would be taken away. And how does he say his disciples will react? That they will fast then at that point. And when you look on these occasions, and you keep going here, verses 16 and 17, no one puts an unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed, but new wine is put into fresh wineskins and so both are preserved. Christ is teaching here that fasting is proper depending upon the occasion. That's what this whole paragraph here, because the paragraph is verse 14 down through 17. It has its proper place and its proper purpose. Now let's consider the question, what does fasting really mean to do? If Christ has shown that his disciples would fast at a certain time, because he's telling them when they fast, not if they fast, and he's saying that they will once He's been taken from them. What is the purpose of fasting? Well, some today fast for medical reasons. You have to go in fasting, we call it, to have your blood work taken. Sometimes we abstain from certain foods to have a cleanse done in our body, to cleanse whatever junk is inside. And so some people fast for those purposes. One of the diets that I have been on at a time in my life and did very well for me, but I had hard willpower to stay on it, was called intermittent fasting. Eat for so many hours and don't for so many hours. And so some people do it for weight and for health purposes. But what is the idea of fasting from the Bible? Abstaining from something to draw closer to another. Instead of just giving something up, you're using the time you would be spending on those items, on those activities, in devotion. Why do you think the disciples wouldn't fast while Christ is with them? Because the Messiah is there with them. The evidence of God is right there in front of them. Why might they fast once he's been taken away from them? To draw closer to him. To gain more strength. To gain more courage. To gain more faith. And in Matthew, verse chapter 6, we have him showing us to how to do it to incur God's favor. When you get to chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus talks about prayer joined with fasting working good. Now, you can all say, Caleb, Christ has not died on the cross yet, and so they're still under the Mosaic Law. And you're absolutely right. So let's continue looking through the New Testament to see if we can answer the question, should Christians fast? Acts chapter 13. Turn there. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a long friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here we have New Testament Christians participating in what? Fasting and prayer. And so they're taking time to be involved in this activity. And the Bible's not putting a spotlight on it saying, look at them fasting. It's written almost as if it's kind of what's expected in making this decision. Fasting and prayer, they did this. Go to the next chapter, 14. Verses 21 through 23 of chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, 21 through 23. This is Paul in the situation at Lystra. Verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Here we are amongst the churches of Galatia, and what are they doing? Fasting and prayer. Committing them to the Lord. Fasting, at its essence, is sacrifice. Making sacrifice for a particular purpose. And not only do we have indications of leaders and members of local churches in the New Testament fasting, we have the example of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Are are they servants of Christ, I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I was adrift at the sea. On frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all of the churches. In his account of tribulations that he's gone through, fasting is one of them, talking about being without food. Now, you're going to say, well, Paul doesn't say that he was particularly fasting in the way we think about it, a purposeful way. The point is, Paul abstained from certain physical benefits for the cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he talks about imitating Christ. And we know from Scripture that Christ fasted right before the temptation in the wilderness. And so answering the question, should Christians fast today, let's at least say this. It would not be inappropriate for Christians to fast. It's not a sin to fast. And there is great gain in taking fast at different times. And so that's what the rest of this lesson is about. Why should we fast? When should we fast? And how should we fast if we're going to partake in this item? We need to be careful before we call fasting a tradition. Now, the idea of Lent being a particular set of days in which you must give up something is most definitely human tradition. The requirement of individuals to do it and the requirement of picking during that time period is a tradition of men. But the idea behind it of giving up something to draw closer to God is something that would be appropriate based on Christ's life, the apostles' life, the early church's life. And so I want to examine the why, when, and how of fasting. As we've already made mention, some people today fast for various reasons, whether they be health related. Even some do it involuntarily. You think of someone who's lost a loved one. Sometimes hard to get them to eat, right? Because their grief and their sorrow has consumed them, and they don't feel the need to eat because they are filled with some emotion instead. And so we see people today fast for various reasons. But there are reasons that we could fast that when we are in need of help from God. Think about just some different examples. We're not going to turn to all of these because we just don't have the time. But let me name you 8 examples throughout Scripture in which individuals fasted because of needing help from God. In the time of Israel, in times of war or in threat, the leaders would call upon the people to fast, and the leaders would fast in prayer to God. David, when his loved ones were sick, fasted, waiting for them to hopefully be healed and revived. When Ahab was even seeking God's forgiveness, he fasted. When Daniel was seeking favor from God, he fasted. When Ezra was seeking protection from God, he fasted. When Christ was dealing with temptation, he had just fasted. When the church at Antioch was serving the Lord and beginning a work for the Lord, they fasted, as we read. And when the churches of Galatia are appointing men to do the work, appointing elders, what are they doing? They're fasting. And so when they need God's guidance, they are fasting. So does that say we're going to starve ourselves because we need God's help? If that's the way we're looking at this, we're missing the point. These individuals were more concerned over these other matters than they were over filling their bellies. They were more concerned with needing God and needing His help than with having their appetite quenched. And so they fasted in devotion, in seeking favor from God, because that was what was more important. And so there may be times in our lives where we are in need of help from God. And please don't take away from here today that I'm telling everyone we need to go out here and fast. There are medical issues with some of that. You need to be careful. But there are times when we need to take sacrifice from what we like to do and what we want to do, what we are doing normally, to instead draw closer to God. And so we might fast on occasion as we are seeking the Lord. And notice, in these occasions, fasting should be coupled with prayer. If you want to jot down a few passages, Psalm 35, verse 13, the psalmist shows that fasting, when done properly, humbles the soul. In the 69th Psalm, and in verse 10, the psalmist writes that fasting chastens the soul. But the one example in the Old Testament I do want to turn and look at, I didn't mention it, but that's Ezra. So Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Then I proclaim a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all those who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all those who forsake Him. And so we fasted and implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. Ezra here is talking about humbling himself and fasting and having his prayer answered by God. We miss the point if we say we're fasting for religious purposes and don't use that opportunity to draw closer to God. Instead of sitting down for the meal, maybe we sit down in prayer. If we don't take advantage of those opportunities, we don't humble ourselves to sit and talk with God, then all we're doing is harming ourselves. All we're doing is wasting our time and effort. And so, why should we fast? Well, simply to draw nearer to God. In times of trial, in times of trouble, we look to draw closer to Him. When then should we fast? Well, simplest answer is whenever the occasion arises that we need to. There's not really an answer of, well, we need to do it, all of us, the second week of March every year. There are occasions that may impact us on an individual level. I remember the first time that I realized there were Christians today who fast. I think I was 15. I remember the occasion. I don't remember how old I was. I think I was 15. And I was at Bible camp, and my counselor was sitting in front of me not eating anything. And he was trying his best not to draw attention to himself, but when you're the only person at the lunch table without any food, it's kind of hard to miss. And so I remember asking him why he wasn't eating. He said, well, I'm fasting. And I just had never heard of a Christian doing that, so I just asked him why. And he and his wife were in the process of deciding on whether to move to a city to start a work there. And he and his wife had decided they were using that week to fast and spend that time that they would normally be eating to pray to God for guidance and to pray about the situation that may make an informed decision about it. And so in their mind at that time, the occasion had arisen that required them to in some way draw closer to God. And so that's what they chose to do. And I remember talking with them about that even years later. They ended up deciding not to move to the city. And it ended up being a good thing because there was another family who moved to the city and the work didn't pan out. There are situations, whether they be like that, or when we're faced with difficult temptations, that to us maybe it's better if we abstain and use that time to draw closer instead. There are occasions for persistent prayer that might call for fasting to be joined with it. As we prepare to hopefully appoint elders at some point in the future, there may be times where we have to make sacrifices, not saying we're all going to quit eating to make that decision. But there may be a situation where we take sacrifice of our own self to carefully consider God and His plan and the purpose. Luke chapter 18. Look at Christ's teaching. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Christ in this parable is teaching persistence. He starts it with, you ought always to pray, you never lose heart, and then gives a parable on persistence. There are times where if we are persistent in our prayers, coupled with sacrifice, coupled with other actions, we might be better attuned to God's will. We might be better strengthened by it. And so, we might find time to fast when occasions present themselves, when we're in occasions where we need to be persistently praying about a matter, because what we're doing is we're attempting to draw closer to God. And so then here's the most important question. How should we fast? Is there a particular way in which we do it? Do we just give up all food? How in which should we go it? Well, looking back at Christ's teaching, what does he warn them in the Sermon on the Mount? When you fast, don't do it like the Gentiles do. What are they trying to do? Or don't do it like these others do. They're trying to be seen of men. We're not doing it for some public display of our faith. I have a friend who is a Catholic that participates in Lent regularly. However, if you ask her what she's given up for Lent, she will never tell you. Because to her, it's a private matter that she does to draw closer to God. And it's something I've always respected about her when people ask. Because in the denominations who practice Lent, you'll see them all the time say, well, I'm giving up cigarettes, I'm giving up this, I'm giving up that, almost as if they're trying to show people what it is that they're doing. Where for her, it's an occasion to try to draw closer to God. When we fast, if we fast, we need to be doing it not so others see how pious we are, how righteous we are. Because if that's what we're seeking, we get our reward from others. We should be seeking to do it to draw closer to God. And so that's where we need to be concerned with who's seeing it. We don't need to be doing it as a big show. And we might be involved with other individuals. You notice in the early church, they were fasting together. But the point is, we're not doing it so that others are happy for us or proud of us, etc. And as Jesus talks in Matthew 9, where he's talking to those disciples of John, when they come and say, the Pharisees fast and we fast, why do your disciples not? The disciples of John are more concerned with the fact that they're not fasting than what's behind the action. And so we're not to be doing it kind of what being talked about there. We could call that a tradition or a ritual. Doing it ritualistically, doing it as a tradition. It should be done when the occasion calls for it, coupled with much prayer and much devotion. Notice what Isaiah says in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 9. If you have a study Bible, or if you have a Bible that has captions, most likely above chapter 58, it says true and false fasting. Isaiah 58, starting in verse 3. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Why will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the spreading of wickedness, if you pour yourself for the hungry and satisfy this desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And it continues on. What Isaiah is showing here about true fasting is that it is coupled with repentance and obedience. Fasting is not something we do to say we're drawing closer to God and at the end of it we're the same person we were at the beginning. Fasting is intended to invoke a change inside of us. And so we ask God for forgiveness through those prayers that we couple with it. We ask for strength, we ask for guidance, we ask for comfort, and hopefully at the end of it we're coming out a stronger individual. And let me make some practical suggestions, and then we'll finish this lesson. Don't go out and fast just because it sounds like a neat thing, or it sounds like something you maybe never have considered before, and you're wondering if now you should go fast to make up for times in the past. Fasting is a serious subject. Fast only when the occasion calls for it, when it's a serious occasion, one in which we desperately desire God's help. And as we have a medical doctor here, he can tell you the dangers of fasting without a plan or fasting improperly. And so if you've never done it before, start slow. Don't fast for days on end. Fast for slow times or slow periods. You know, maybe it's we skip lunch for the entire week, and so we're fasting during that hour and using that hour to draw closer to God. Not continual days on end without eating, lest we maybe come out a little stronger faith-wise, but a lot weaker physically. Eat slow and gradually break your fast, or in slow, gradually breaking your fast with fresh fruits, fresh vegetables in small amounts, nutrients. Don't damage your body because you've decided now this is something you want to do. The point of this lesson is not to tell everyone in here, if you've never fasted before, you're going to hell. The point of this lesson is if you've never fasted before, you need to do it now. I think as Christians, a lot of times we consider fasting to be something that's a tradition, something that's a ritual, something that the denominations have taken and turned it into something it was not intended to be. Fasting has its proper place and its proper time, and profits us greatly if done in the right way, the right attitude. Fast when you have time to spend in prayerful meditation with God. Remember the purpose of fasting. We are to humble ourselves in the sight of God, seeking favorable answer to what our problem is. There's a lot more that could be said about fasting, and at some point in the future, we're going to have two more lessons. One, several different Old Testament passages and fasting from that view, and then another on New Testament passages and fasting, diving a little deeper into Christ's fasting, into the fasting of the New Testament churches. Just so we can better understand why this ever became a thing, for lack of a better word. Why it ever became a mechanism, there's a better word, for drawing closer to God. As with any subject, the Word of God is supreme. And I hope that this study has let us see a little better what fasting has an intention for and how it can be beneficial to us if done properly. The key about fasting is its purpose, and that's drawing nearer to God. And I thank Gary for leading that song. I think he did a fine job on it. We need day by day to draw closer to God. Fasting is one way, under particular circumstances, that we can use to be greatly devoted to God, greater devoted to God. But day by day, my friends, we should be seeking opportunities to draw closer to Him. Because that is our way of escape. That is our salvation. That is our hope and our home after this life is over. And so day by day, this week, the rest of this month, this year, let us seek opportunities to draw closer to God. Tonight, if you're here and you have not obeyed the will of God, come near to Him now. He is willing to receive you and become His child. And if you're here and you've wandered away from Him, He invites you to turn back to Him tonight. And so whatever your case may be, if there's any way that the church here can help you through prayer, through encouragement, whatever it might be, let us know as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected.